This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
All right, David Jenkins, thank you very much, and welcome to Sports Saturday, the last Saturday in May, Memorial Day weekend, of course, and please don't say happy Memorial Day weekend. It's Memorial Day weekend, a time of remembrance for those who gave the ultimate sacrifice. And David, as someone who never had anywhere close to enough courage or guts to even think about signing up to serve in the military, for all those who do, thank you. And to those who gave their lives in service of our country, thank you. Thank you so much.
Well, and that's what this is. This one isn't necessarily for everyone who served.
That's obviously what Veterans Day is for.
Right. This is for everyone who perished in service of their country. So if you hear, and Dave Dart from Litchfield VFW is actually going to be saying some words on Memorial Day on the station, ignore the end of it when I do say Happy Memorial Day.
Oh.
My apologies. Wasn't thinking, but yeah.
But, I mean, it's just kind of a reflex because, you know, right. Memorial Day is kind of the official start to summer and the barbecues, and the weather's supposed to be nice, although
it's been rather
nasty in terms of the weather. And hopefully next week will be a good week, David, because, you know, with Memorial Day and those who gave the ultimate sacrifice, it allows us to have the freedoms we have, do the things that we love. And high school postseason is back this spring after the COVID year off. Every spring sport and season is going to get a playoff, and it's going to start next week. And we just hope that Mother Nature will cooperate and allow things to move forward without much weather incident. But as we look kind of at what our plans here are on the radio station, and some things never change, David. Basically, every team we cover, playing on the same day.
Of course.
At the same time.
Of course.
All in different places.
Yeah.
So we're going to as many games as people we have in places we have to put them on the radio. So we're maxing out what we can do. We're going to start off on Wednesday. We'll have 2A baseball. And remember, there'll be no regional sites this year. So it's not like a Litchfield regional where all the teams come and you play the games.
Correct.
It's going to, every game will be played at the host site of the better seeded team. That's true for the regional quarterfinal, semifinal, all the way through to the state tournament. So in regional A, you'll have Litchfield at Auburn. That'll be a Wednesday game at 4:30. We'll have the broadcast at 7 o'clock on FM 106.1. Also on Wednesday, we will have 2A softball as part of regional A and the regional letters.
This is WSMI regional A, basically.
I guess. I mean, that's how it's posted on the website.
Well, there's a lot of regional A's and B's.
Exactly. So it means nothing.
Yeah.
It means nothing. I don't even know why I'm saying it. Hillsborough will be at Carlinville in 2A softball. That will be live on Wednesday at 4:30 on AM 1540, FM 106.9, in 92.9. Then coming up on Thursday, we will have more 2A softball. Gillespie will be at Southwestern. What a battle this will be. The Miners just beat the Pius Allbirds for the conference championship last week. They're going to square off again with a trip to the regional championship on the line. We'll have that broadcast Thursday, 7 o'clock on FM 106.1. And then Friday, it will depend on the outcomes of some other games. We potentially could have as many as 3 games on Friday with 2 softball regional championships. We know for certain we'll have 2A baseball on Friday with Staunton at Carlinville. And as of now, that game's going to be live at 4:30 on 105.3 The Ox. We'll stream it all at WSMIRadio.com as well. Then the regional championship games will be on Monday.
I think we can only stream 2 at a time. Can we not?
2 at a time.
Yeah. So if we have 3 games, we can't stream.
But they're not all going on at the same time.
Okay.
Yes.
Gotcha.
And we will have Monday regional championship baseball, potentially a triple header on Monday. And it'll be a little bit different, of course, having regional championship games on Monday. It's going to be very strange, of course, having this much postseason play in the month of June, because in a normal year, this would be the weekend of super sectionals with the state tournament coming in the first weekend of June.
It does work out for us, though, because in a normal year, we would then have to make a decision, okay, of what softball championships are we going to do, what baseball championships are we going to do, because they would all fall on the same Saturday. This year, they're split. where softball championships are on one day, baseball championships are on another.
It was the Friday, June 4th, that was the tricky date. That's the day where essentially everybody is playing.
Right.
So you can find the schedule on the website, WSMIRadio.com. Also next week, you will have girls soccer postseason. And, of course, soccer is a medium-risk sport. But, David, what changed, of course, was all the guidance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the fall, when soccer boys didn't get to have a postseason, the guidance was different, and it dictated to the athletes to say, okay, we can't do this. Even with the junior high state track meet, which was just supposed to be a few weeks ago, they decided to not have that. And then shortly after they decided to cancel, the guidance changed. And with that change, here we go with soccer postseason, and state track and field will have a postseason as well. And we'll have more on that, by the way, coming up with Dan Newkirk later on here in the hour on WSMI Sports Saturday. But in terms of the girls' soccer postseason, they're going to have a sectional at Litchfield. And, David, they're jumping. Just skip the regional.
Yeah.
Just get it out. And you wonder maybe if this would be something that continues in the future, because not all sports have a regional. Some just start in the sectional.
Well, in soccer, girls' soccer is only three classes. So I think maybe some schools may not, like with all sports, some schools may not have certain sports. So I think it works out this way. This might be something to, like you said, look into moving forward.
There's been a lot of, obviously, changes over this last year. Some of it's going to get thrown out with the bathwater, as they say. Some of it will stick.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see what stays and what goes. But in terms of this Litchfield sectional starting on Tuesday, June 1st, you'll have Carletonville at Southwestern. That's a 4 o'clock game on Tuesday. The winner will get Hillsboro on Friday, June 4th. Gillespie will be at Staunton on Tuesday. That's a 5 o'clock game. The winner getting Litchfield. At 4:30 on Tuesday, Wood River will be at Greenville. The winner will get Roxana. Also at 4:30 Tuesday, Metro East will be at Father McGivney, with the winner getting Alton Marquette. Then all of the sectional semifinal games will be on that Friday, June 4th. That's going to be a busy day across the IHSA landscape.
A little bit.
And then the girls' track sectional Wednesday at North Mac, and that will include Litchfield, Carletonville, Gillespie, Bunker Hill, Auburn, and Carrollton, Greenfield, Northwestern, New Berlin, and Pawnee, along with Jacksonville Route, Pleasant Hill, Riverton, Springfield Lutheran, South County, and North Green. That'll be Wednesday at North Mac. Field events at 2, running events beginning at 3:30. So just again, just congratulations to all of the people involved in this last COVID sports season, from the ADs, you know, all the way down, obviously, players, coaches, officials. There was a lot that went in to getting this sports season to this point.
Congratulations, by the way, to the schools, that were in session through the entire year.
Hats off, absolutely.
Because there were times, I know, during this school year where they probably thought, should we get out of school right now? Should we go at home school? But to the schools that stuck it out and remained in person through the entire year, hats off to you. They really deserve a pat on the back.
They do deserve a pat on the back. I know Hillsboro, they did that. And I think they just got out.
Yes, this week.
Yeah, this week.
The last day, yeah. Litchfield, for the most part, did it as well. They kind of had an unconventional way. They did, at least for the start of the year, they had, I think, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Like, your Monday, you went Monday, Wednesday, and then Tuesday, Thursday, and then Friday was a remote day for everyone. That changed as the year went on. But it was still in person for at least some of the week. So for Litchfield, most of the year they were in person.
Yeah, but to all schools, just thank you for, I mean, my goodness, talk about going above and beyond. You did a great, great service to the kids in your communities.
Well, because we saw the difference between the students who were physically in school and those who were remote. I mean, no denying, in person.
There was no easy decisions, and there was no right or wrong decision. You just had to make the decision that was best for your district and for your kids, and it wasn't the same for everybody, certainly. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. We're going to be having a conversation with Zach Ferguson. He's a Staunton baseball coach, and a few weeks ago he accepted the head football coaching position at Pittsfield. So we'll talk to Zach Ferguson about that. We will also catch up with Lincoln Wood softball coach Greg Neisler when Sports Saturday continues.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI, and we rejoin Tim Mize.
David Jenkins, thank you so much. We'll have Cardinal baseball tonight from Arizona, I think 8:15 with the pregame, FM 106.9 and 92.9. It has been nice listening to Cardinal baseball in crystal clear FM quality.
Absolutely. They're really good at beating those bad teams.
Hey, you got to beat the bad teams, too.
It's true.
You just got to do a wee bit better against the good teams.
That's right.
Just a wee bit better.
Yeah.
Hey, I want to brag on my little sister for a moment. She was named the...
Won't allow it.
I'm sorry. I'm going to do it anyway, unless you cut my microphone off.
I can do that. I have the power.
You do have the power over me. But she was named the country financial, I guess, teacher with that spotlight. I don't know what the actual term was, but it's in coordination with the IHSA.
You're going to brag on her and you don't even know what she did?
I know. I know what she did. I just don't know what they actually call it. It was like the country financial teacher spotlight. That's what it was. Okay. But the way I started my sentence, there was no way that I could get that out of my mouth and have it.
It just took you a little bit of pressure to have it correct.
Oh, boy, I tell you what. This is what happens when you don't prepare, David.
Congratulations, sister. You did something good, but I don't know what it is.
You did something. People were happy about it. It was a big deal, but I don't really know what it was. But no, in all seriousness, the Country Financial Teacher Spotlight, you can read more about it at IHSA.org, but just congratulations to her. She's been coaching volleyball for a long time at Bunker Hill. She has the junior high program and the high school program. Teaches at the elementary school, I think 8 years now. Same school she went to, which, David, I always think in terms of like small town education, it's so useful, I think, when the teachers are from the town and went to the school.
Yeah.
You know, I just think that benefits everybody involved with the school when you have more teachers in that spot. Or teachers who have been there for so long, it feels like they're from the town, you know?
Right. There's a culture and history there that you're already familiar with.
Cultured history.
Culture and history.
Yes. Yeah. I like cultured history.
Well, that works too, I guess.
That sounds classy. That's like eating a Snickers with a knife and fork.
It's true.
It's how the high society folks say culture and history.
With your hands.
With your hands. Well, so my sister Sarah Burnett, congratulations on that wonderful honor. Also congratulations to Dave Bates. The longtime Auburn football coach has decided to retire 35 years, David. And I cannot imagine current coaches who are in that 8 to 12 year window of coaching at a school are going to make it another 20 years at the same school. That is just something you don't see a heck of a lot of now, and you're going to see less of it moving forward. 35 years in charge of the Auburn football program, I think 27 years in the playoffs, 18 straight from 2000 to 2017, and they were early on, David, really the first team around here in terms of small school to start running the spread.
Yeah. I do feel a little bit bad for the individual who has to take over for him. I'm sure they'll do a fine job, but those are big shoes to fill.
Those are big shoes to fill.
Absolutely.
That's totally right. And he was instrumental in getting the Sangamo Conference started. Mm-hmm. That was kind of his idea, kind of his brainchild, and that's evolved into really, I mean, the premier small school football conference, certainly in the central to southern part of the state, and you can make a case statewide. So congratulations to Dave Bates on that, which leads us in to Zach Ferguson. Of course, Dave Bates, 35 years at Auburn. Zach Ferguson, I think, just completed his fourth year at the helm of the Staunton Bulldogs football program, but he had an opportunity to go home to Pittsfield. And, you know, he saw several coaches in the South Central Conference with the ability to coach at their alma mater. Now he will get that opportunity at Pittsfield. But we began our conversation with that topic in mind, and Zach Ferguson said he wasn't necessarily looking for that.
Yeah, I mean, it was one of those things where this opportunity kind of popped up, and just based on the circumstances that were available, I felt like it was the best opportunity for me to go home.
And in the South Central Conference, you had the opportunity to see several coaches in that circumstance, and I know you said it was kind of a surprise, but did you ever think in the back of your mind, yeah, that'd be pretty cool?
I mean, when I left 5 years ago to come to Staunton, I kind of, at that time, I didn't have any plans to head back home, and then You know, as I'm around these guys coaching here who, you know, get the opportunity to coach in their hometown or where they've raised a family, you know, when this opportunity came up to go back to Pittsfield, I kind of felt like I had to take advantage of that.
And obviously, this last year has just been wild. You're certainly in a time crunch here. You got your baseball season still going on, which we're going to get into here in a moment. But the fall football season is not that far away.
No, it's not. And, luckily, I've got, you know, my assistants lined up at Pittsfield who are going to handle some of the off-season stuff until I can get back. And, yeah, as you said, I still have baseball, hopefully for a while longer. Mm-hmm. But I got a good group of assistants back home who are going to handle things until I can get rolling there.
Zach, you had maybe one of the most unique perspectives for this COVID season. Spring football right into baseball. What was that transition like?
Well, for us, I mean, with us having the ability to start practice at 2:30, we had the opportunity to really not make kids pick and choose. You know, we had football practice from 2:30 to 4, and then we'd go from baseball practice from 4 to 5:30. So even though it was a long day for the coaches and a long day for the kids, they never had to choose which sport they wanted to do, which I think was beneficial. But, you know, when you had the last week of the football season, we had a two baseball games during the week. You know, we couldn't practice for football. So, you know, it was one of those things where we just did the best we could, and our AD did the best, you know, did the best he could. And ultimately just come down to just giving the kids an opportunity to play.
And, Zach, I can only speak for myself. I don't know how you saw it, but for me, the nine-week fall football season is the fastest 9 weeks of the year. But it felt to me like that six-week spring season took an eternity. I don't know what it was like actually being involved day-to-day, but that's how it felt to me.
Well, I think a lot of coaches felt that way. Number one, it was a different time of year. You know, we're practicing in cold weather that we're usually not used to seeing. You know, the kids are – you know, not adjusted to that type of temperature. The second thing, I think, the biggest thing for me was we never knew if we were going to play, mm-hmm. you know. And then when you finally all of a sudden get told, hey, you're going to have a season, and then it's almost like you're trying to do everything the right way to where you don't, you know, with always the risk of quarantines and always the risk of, you know, someone on your team testing positive or even someone on the other team testing positive, and then they're going to quarantine your whole team. I think for a lot of coaches, I think just the stress of the unknown caused a lot of, you know, issues with them, you know, not being able to really enjoy the moment.
And one of the big challenges for all the sports this year was really just lack of preparation time, not having the normal practices and the buildup to the start of the season. But baseball was in its own special circumstance with not even having had a season last year and the specialized nature of the sport, Zach. I mean, you don't see live pitching for a year. That's tough.
Right. Oh, yeah. I mean, we definitely noticed that the first probably week and a half of our games. You know, we did some live pitching in practice, but until the kids actually get out there in a game situation, you know, where their adrenaline's rolling and that type of thing, that was one of the biggest, you know, I thought, you know, pitching, the pitchers, you know, recovered very quickly. The, you know, defensively people recovered very quickly, but the live pitching was one thing I really felt like, you know, that was going to take some time to get back.
And as you get set to roll into postseason play next week, your opponent familiar, conference foe, Carthenville, how are you guys health-wise? How's the pitching stacking up here for regional week?
Well, our health, everybody's healthy, thank goodness. You know, we got a game today in Greenville, and then we're off basically all next week until we play on Friday. So, all our pitchers are going to be available. As you said, yeah, we've played them before. You know, it's Carthenville. We lost, I think, 4-3 or 5-4, something like that.
One run.
So I imagine it's going to be, you know, very similar to what it was the first time.
Talking with Zach Ferguson, Staunton baseball coach. When I look at your schedule, you don't have really the bad loss. I mean, when I look at the teams you lost to, all really good teams that could be playing pretty deep into June.
Yeah, I mean, you take out, you know, the first one against North Mac, where, you know, they're a very good team, but I also feel like we didn't play, you know, very well. But then you look at the other score, the other scores that we've lost, I mean, typically it's one run.
Yeah.
Or, you know, situations where it's a tight game, and then, you know, even against Pena this past Wednesday, you know, it was 1-0 going into the bottom of the sixth. So I think, you know, luckily we've kept them close, but sometimes those are the harder ones to lose than the 10-0 ones.
Zach, who have been some of your key contributors this year offensively?
Well, offensively, we've kind of had a kind of score by committee. Mm-hmm. We haven't really set, you know, one kid that I think has to do everything for us. I know Zach Urey's been hitting the ball well. Caden Sylvester's been hitting the ball well. Sam Best is, you know, he's doing his job in the two hole there. Kyle Faber has really come on this year, and he's definitely surprised me as far as his average and his power. Blake Mersch has done what we've asked him to do. Matthew Sievers, I mean, up and down the line, and that's the thing about us is our 1-4 guys may not have a good game, but our 5-9 guys do, or vice versa. So that's definitely been shown to happen with us, and so 1-9, I feel pretty comfortable with. You know, you never know what you're going to get from them that day, as far as they may be the guys who really help pick us up offensively.
And in high school baseball especially, I mean, if your pitchers don't walk guys and your defenders field the ball when it's hit to them, you're going to have pretty good success.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think that's even, you know, baseball in general is if you'll throw strikes, and that's what I preach to our guys all the time, you know, you can't defend a walk. And our kids, as the year has gone by, our pitchers have really done a much better job of limiting the walks and attacking the strike zone a little better and not trying to nibble so much to where, you know, they got to realize that we have a pretty decent defense behind them, and they need to use it more than trying to do everything themselves. So I think that's one of the biggest changes that I've seen the last couple months is the pitchers willing to just be more comfortable with letting their defense do the work. And we have a good group of pitchers, good five guys who throw for us. And, you know, I think that is one of our strengths is our pitching and our defense.
Zach, final question. You've been around, you know, the kids here for multiple sports during this year. Just talk about the resilience of the kids and what they've been through over this last year. You know, everybody's life has been upended, but these high school kids, man, they have really had to sacrifice a lot of different things.
Yeah, I mean, when you take into account, you know, they lost their entire, you know, 2020 spring season. We go into the summer, nobody knows what's going to happen. IHSA is, you know, telling us, hey, you can lift, you know. And the one thing I'll say about our kids, and I'm sure from talking to other coaches, it's the kids in general, is they wanted to get out so badly that it didn't matter what you were doing, whether it was weightlifting, conditioning, you know, going for a walk, whatever. The kids wanted to get out and do stuff. And I felt like they never, you know, I know there was times our kids were like, well, we're not going to play, you know. And I said, well, you never know. But they still didn't miss a fall practice. You know, they were still there. I think the kids showed that, you know, even if they can't control the future, they can control what they're doing right now. And I feel like the kids took advantage of every opportunity they had to enjoy their sport, even if, you know, even if the seasons were shortened or at different times or however you want to look at it. But, you know, to me, they definitely learned how to battle through adversity. And I think the kids did it better than sometimes the adults.
Yes.
And so when you look at that, I think they learned a great, you know, dealing with what they're dealing with, they've learned a great lesson for their lives in the future about, you know, just not taking things for granted, number one. And also, number two, it's, you know, you never – it's you have to make it what you want it to be. You can't let, you know, circumstances guide you to where it has to be a certain way. So, I mean, I'm proud of our guys for what they did, how they overcame. But, you know, again, I hope we never have to go through a situation like this. And I know, you know, I feel bad for the seniors this year who lost a, you know, a junior, basically a junior season of spring and then a shortened season in the for football. So, you know, but I know they were just also very just happy to play. So,
and Zach, at least the seniors on the baseball team get to go out with the postseason. That's at least something for them.
Oh, yeah, I agree with that. And, I, you know, that's something I felt like they deserve to have more than any other sport. You know, people will disagree on that. But, you know, when you look at it, they lost their entire 2020 spring season. They deserve to have, number one, an opportunity to play a normal season as possible, but also to have a postseason. And, you know, yes, it's rushed. But, you know, to me, that's going to separate the really good teams from the just the average teams because, you know, if you get into the postseason and you make it to the sectional, you better have a good number three pitcher. Yeah. So it's kind of like, you know, we're kind of going to really see who has the best well-rounded baseball teams here coming up.
Yep, that's exactly right. Zach Ferguson, thank you so much for some time here today, and best of luck moving forward with Pittsfield, sir.
All right, thank you very much.
That's Zach Ferguson, Staunton baseball coach and soon to be, well, I guess he is the Pittsfield football coach, but that was, you know, that's a strange combo to be the football coach and the baseball coach this year as both seasons were going on at the same time.
He's going to have coached two different schools in 1 year.
Yeah, right.
How about that?
Two football teams, 2 years, two seasons. Or one year. Two seasons.
Two seasons.
Yeah, how about that? You know, as I was, listening to Zach talk just about, you know, high school baseball, it made me think, you know, what is going to be the infamous Javier Baez play now? If a high school kid did that, or, you know, a little league player did that, you'd be left scratching your head thinking, What in the world were they doing? But then when you see a big leaguer do it, It goes to a whole nother level. But then it's like, can you really get upset or surprised then when high school kids and little kids do silly things in the baseball field? Because that's the worst play in the history of baseball.
Yep. Did it really happen to a big leaguer, though?
Well, he was a pirate.
Yes.
That's true.
Yes.
More of like a 4A player, maybe?
Yes. Yes. Most likely.
Yeah. Just step on the bag, man.
Do it.
Just step on the bag.
You don't get that initial tag. Turn around.
Oh. Yeah. What an all-time blooper.
For sure.
Oh, boy. Cardinal baseball tonight, 8:15, FM 106.9, 92.9. I can say with great certainty, Paul Goldschmidt will not do that. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, yesterday we had a chance to talk it over with Lincolnwood softball coach Greg Neisler. We'll bring you that conversation when Sports Saturday returns. We're happy to be joined on Sports Saturday by Lincolnwood softball coach Greg Neisler. And Greg, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time today. And it certainly is exciting to be getting pumped up for postseason play. Sounds real good to say it.
It does. It does. And thanks for having me on here today. We haven't just missed one season. Sometimes we'd like to put it out of our mind, but we've missed two postseasons due to a tragedy a couple of years ago there at school. And so it's been a long time. And it's good to get to say that again. And then playing in June, that's always something you always strive to do in a regular season. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, that's exactly right, Greg. In a normal year, if you're playing softball on Memorial Day weekend or into June, that means you have advanced a long way.
Yeah. Memorial Day is always Super Sectional Day, and we were fortunate enough to host a couple of Super Sectionals several years ago here, and always dreamed about playing in that kind of a game, and then of course going to the state tournament and nothing like that, and something you just really want to do, and that's the goal for this year is to go as far as we can. That's one of the team goals we have this year is just to go deep in the postseason.
Well, and you guys get a one seed in your subsectional complex. And, Greg, obviously this year, the postseason, we have it, but it's different. No set regional sites. So that will be a little bit different.
Yeah, that it worked out real well for us this year. We got off to a really good start, and we're fortunate enough to get a one seed, and then being able to play at home. There's always no place like home, and I haven't looked back through the years to see what our record is, home or away, but it's just there's a comfort in knowing you play at home, just one less thing you have to worry about. You just know what to expect, and so that takes away some of the unexpected things, so...
And,
so, yeah, that's going to be good.
And especially like in softball, the other advantage to being the home team is that last at bat.
It is. It is. That's good. I over the years, I've noticed, though, too, that, you know, if you're a visitor and get to jump on another team first and get to hit first, there can be advantages both ways. But when the game's on the line, it's sure nice to be up to bat last.
Well, that's exactly right. But to your point, Greg, in softball especially, if you're facing an elite pitcher and you don't get her in the first inning, you might not get her again.
Oh, gosh, yes. And that's something we preach all the time is, you know, when you play those good pitchers, if they're wanting to jump ahead, we can't be nonchalant when we step into that box. We have to be ready to swing the bat because the first pitch might be the only decent pitch that you can hit hard. And, you know, you have to be ready for it and have them timed up and ready to go. And that's hard. And that's hard when you play good pitch or against good pitchers.
And the scheduling this year obviously was a bit unique, but you guys played some real quality opponents. So you should feel pretty prepared for this postseason run.
Well, this last week was kind of a gauntlet, and now the rain's put a damper on it. Mm-hmm. You know, whenever we started out with a new Berlin team that maybe doesn't have the best record but has competed all year against quality teams, and then you have Tri-City on the schedule twice and a doubleheader with Pawnee, mm-hmm. who's the two seed in the subsectional, and then Gillespie on Friday, and the rain, I know, is put a damper on things, and then we play in a tournament on Saturday and up at UIS in the Tri-City tournament, playing Midwest Central and Porta, and you know, it was a gauntlet set up to really prepare us, and I know the rain weather does a lot of goofy things to us, and wish we could have played a few more of those, but yeah, it set us up, and hopefully then we'll go back to playing some 1A teams and, you know, feel a lot more confident.
And, Greg, it should be a good situation for the UIS games coming up. And an event like that, that is really just kind of, if nothing more than mentally, a good way to get you locked into a postseason type of setting.
Oh, absolutely. And one of the things that we struggled with this year, we played two doubleheaders against conference teams, and we split them both. You know, with Edinburgh, Bernie Girl is an outstanding pitcher, and then we split with Pawnee, and they're just a solid, complete team and fundamentally sound, and we won both the first games, and we've just kind of come up short in second games, running out of gas a little bit. And I'm sure glad we're going to be able to play two more two-day games in one day just to, you know, build our stamina and our strength. And playing two different teams hopefully will make a little change on that too. But, it's all a building, growing process. And if we can grow through that, then we come back into tournament play and have one game to focus on one at a time. It's sure going to help.
And as we look at your postseason draw, and I know Terry Tote used to always say that, it's all about the draw. You know, the seed doesn't matter. The type of year you had doesn't necessarily matter. What type of draw do you get? And as we look at your draw here, you get the winner between Pleasant Hill and Brussels. If you get past that, you're looking at a regional championship date potentially with Carrollton or North Green. And to your point you were just making, it's one game at a time, but you can't help but maybe look a little bit like, okay, that draw, we can work with that.
Well, and I hope so. You can't look by anybody. You just can't do it, as you said. And that's, you know, that's so true. We haven't seen any of those teams. Mm-hmm. We haven't seen them. I think the schedule thing is going to work out where I get to see a couple of those game or a couple of those teams play, get to go watch them at least, and we'll be able to make more determinations there. But I'm glad you mentioned Terry Toad. It's just we really miss him. Mm-hmm. We see your influence that he's had of how the programs and things go, and are glad that you're carrying that thing on. But that he, helped develop so well there. But it's the kind of thing where I don't want to jump ahead too far, but we'll take it one game at a time, and we'll see what happens. But we being in the number one seed definitely helps things. There's no doubt about it. And a lot of years we preach this every year, whether it's in junior high or whether it's in high school. Every game matters, yeah. And a lot of times you don't think that, and then, boy, if we'd have just won one more game, it would have looked so much better for the seedings whenever coaches go to vote. It had just been so much better for us. And, when you do get the number one seed, you kind of see how it can be a benefit.
Talk with Greg Neisler, Lincolnwood softball coach. The one seed win regional play gets underway next week. Greg, talk to me about some of your kids this year, your key contributors.
Well, we've got several of them. That's why it's been so good. We have 16 on the roster, and really we can plug, and we have plugged every one of them in at different points throughout the season in varsity ball. JV ball's been tough this year. There's a lot of teams that are down on numbers, and so we haven't got near as many in. And so whenever our role players get a chance to play, they've proven that they can come in and run the bases or come in and give us a good at bat or play a defensive hole. We need to get some time and some work in. But no doubt a couple of our seniors have stepped up big time as far as leading both offensively and defensively. Brittany Slidham's been behind the plate, and she plays during summer and has worked on her skills tremendously behind the plate and at bat. She's our cleanup hitter and done a nice job. And Cassie Krager, another senior over at shortstop, and she's been in the up the middle, either at short or second, her whole career since being a freshman. And this, she's really wanted to improve on her hitting, and this year she's been able to do that. And so that's been huge. And then we have two more seniors that, at the beginning of the year, they're both first basemen. And, we sat down and talked, and they had a selfless attitude that they're going to rotate over there at first base, and they're each going to, do their best when they're in there, and they've done that. And so that's been something you don't see every day either, that platooning type of situation, and each of them have had some great games over at first base and have made some good plays there. And then the rest of our infield is all younger. We have Marissa Webb at second base, and her mental attitude has been tremendous this year, and really improving at the plate. And Desi Pitchford over at third base, another junior, and she's got a tremendous arm and can, attack on defense. And I told her at one time she might be the best nine hitter in Central Illinois, because she can hit the ball too. And it's nice to have a complete full lineup to do that. But then they go to the outfield and we've really been blessed out there. Sydney Glick kind of heads it off in center field as a junior, and she's just so fundamentally sound out there. And Avery Pope is a sophomore, and she plays left field for us, and she's just as smooth and floats out there and really picking up that position. And then we have a junior in right field that is our flex player, and she stays motivated, and it's hard to do that when you don't get to bat. Mm-hmm. And she does that, and she's made some outstanding plays in right field, and so that's been great. And then the other thing we've had is we've been rotating pitching, and our pitching is freshman and a sophomore are key pitchers, and one of them's won I think seven games and one maybe six. It's I have to go back and look, I'm not exactly sure, but they're right there. Each of them I think have lost three games, and so we've been rotating some young pitching and been able to kind of have some matchups that way. So it's been blessed because We have a strong role players and strong players on the field, and we also have Taryn Milberg, that's our flex, our DP, and she could play on, you know, besides she's one of our pitchers, along with Paige Rainwater and the sophomore. And, you know, it's good to have that many players that can come in and step in and play roles.
So, great. It's good to have that many players that are freshmen and sophomores, too. My goodness, future is bright here.
Well, and then next year, you know, this has been a special season because it's the last of a chapter at Lincolnwood.
Yes.
Because they've been playing ball for, I think, about 31 years here. Softball's been here, and I've been fortunate enough to be around for a chunk of that. And, you know, it's the last of a chapter to a closing one and then opening a new one with Morrisonville coming over. And so we've taken a lot of pride in being a school that's usually one of the three smallest schools that we play on our schedule, and by quite a few students, and still trying to compete. And this is the last chance of that by ourselves, and then we get to start a new chapter with Morrisonville, and we're looking forward to it, but we want to enjoy the journey of our final chapter of Lincolnwood only too. So it's a special thing when you're small and things pull together for you.
Talking with Greg Neisler, and Greg, one final question. It's so fantastic that there's going to be a postseason, and for a lot of these girls, not getting postseason in the sports they played leading up to the spring this year, it's just fantastic they get to go out with playoff softball.
Well, and it is. I told the seniors, I watched their final volleyball game there at home, you know, whenever they scored was up to about 20, you started seeing their faces looking at each other, and they knew that they only had about 5 more points to play and their careers were done. And you could see it on their faces. You could see it in their body language. And we talked about that one night, and they knew exactly how they felt. And, you know, kids are kids. A lot of times we don't, and adults are adults, we don't appreciate what we have a lot of times until it's right at the end too late or whatever. And so we just have to enjoy each moment, and we do get to play postseason, and you determine your own outcome. You know, your destiny's in your own hands, and that's a fun, thrilling feeling to be able to go and do that here this year. I hope we all appreciate it.
Greg Neisler, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time, and we look forward to following the Lancers on the playoff ride.
Well, hopefully everybody has their best games on, and hopefully we do too, and then go out and just get to compete, because, you know, sometimes we just forget the fun of the game and just have fun with this game. So I appreciate all you do and all the coverage and everything you put on the radio and in this short season scrambling, because it's always fun when you're riding home or whatever from a ball game and turn on WSMI and get to pick up a high school sports broadcast. That's always a fun thing to do.
And that was Greg Neisler joining us yesterday here on WSMI Sports Saturday. And that UIS tournament, of course, canceled today. So, unfortunately, that would have been a wonderful way to end regular season play, but the softball extravaganza at UIS today canceled. We need to get to a break. On the other side, we will talk it over with our good buddy Dan Newkirk when Sports Saturday rolls on. Chance now to catch up with our buddy Dan Newkirk. And Dan wears many a hats, of course. He's a great educator for Litchfield, coaches just about every sport on the face of the earth. Of course, he also works for us here at the radio station. You'll hear him on football in the fall, and you're going to hear him on some baseball coming up here beginning next week. But, Dan, you got to tell me something that you don't do well, man, because everything that you do just seems to be top-notch.
Well, I always try to tell people I'm kind of a jack-of-all-trades, master of none. So I've got my hand in a lot of things, that's for sure.
And I know, Dan, you do it, though, for all the right reasons. You always have the focus of it's all about giving the kids the opportunity.
I try to. I appreciate that very much, Tim, because I love kids and I love working with them, and I like to think that when I'm when I'm done with this, I've looked to Mark a little bit of an impression, and I do. I try to do it for the right reasons. I appreciate that very much.
And one of the main hats you wear, of course, is track and field coach, and the South Central Conference meet was earlier this week, and it was a rainy, nasty day, but boy, Litchfield boys and girls, very strong showing.
We did. We had a good night. It was kind of hit and miss whether we were going to get the meet in. The kids ended up sitting in the gym at Pena for about 2 hours as the thunder just kept grumbling and kept grumbling, and we met several times to decide what to do, and we stalled and we waited, and we kind of set 4 o'clock as a deadline that we got. If we got past 4 o'clock, it was going to be pretty late getting home. And at 4 o'clock, things cleared off, thunder stopped, and we decided to give it a go. And we did have a little sprinkle, kind of similar to what it is right now. Kind of spit on us a little bit, but then that cleared off, and we wound up having a pretty nice night to run.
Litchfield finishes second in boys and girls. Carlinville won the boys' meet. Pena won the girls' meet. But, Dan, as I look individually here at some of the Purple Panther performers, Cameron Crow, he had himself a day along with Camden Corton.
Yeah, they both really had great days. And they've both been very consistent competitors for us all year long. Those two, along with our one senior, Will Carlisle, we've really relied on to score a lot of points for us and spread them out as much as possible, those three guys. And they've really been highlights of our season. And the two Cams really did a fantastic job last night for scoring points and performance as well.
You know, there's been a lot of weird combinations this year with the COVID season. The track and field wrestling combo, that's a unique one.
Yeah, it really is. And in Litchfield, we have a board policy that kids are only allowed to compete in one sport per season. And so as it was looking like wrestling was getting pushed and pushed later and later, I began to realize that our best pole vaulter and one of our best sprinters, Will Carlisle, was going to be caught in that crosshairs of being in two sports at once. Well, Coach Elvers, Mark Elvers, our athletic director, who really is again someone who I think does it for the kids and is in it for the right reasons, saw that early and talked to Dr. Furstenauer, superintendent, and they really, before any decisions even had to be thought about, let alone made, they made the decision that since wrestling was displaced into the spring season, that any of the wrestlers would be allowed to play baseball or run track. So that worked out very well for them. And it was done early enough and effectively enough that there was no pressure put on the kids to make a choice or a decision. And so I was very pleased with how that was handled by the administration.
It's always nice when common sense actually wins out in circumstances. And it sounds like that's exactly what happened right there, because a guy like Will shouldn't have to make that choice in his senior year. And it's real good that he didn't have to.
And it is, you know, and Will's been well documented. He's our defending state champion in wrestling. But he is, he got second place in the pole vault last night. He's 12 feet 1 inch is the state qualifying height. He's been over 13.6 several times and has almost made 14 a couple times. So he's really a very good pole vaulter as well as wrestler. So it really would have been a loss for him personally if he would have had to choose between the two. He tells me it would have been a difficult choice for him to make. So Coach Davidson and I have worked very well with each other and made sure that Will and Brandon Malloy is another one of the track boys who also wrestle, balanced their schedule, and they get to wrestling practice, they get to track practice, and they've made all their track and wrestling needs. So it's worked out very well for both kids and both programs.
Talking with Dan Newkirk here, Litchfield track and field coach. And we'll get into the girls' meet in a moment, and another good day for the Lady Panthers there as well. But Carlinville won the boys' meet, Dan. And just what impressed you about the Carlinville squad?
Well, earlier in the year, Carlinville is kind of in a restart with Coach Ken Garrison, retired 2 years ago. Longtime track coach, very good friend of mine. And last year they kind of got a stay, with COVID canceling the spring season. And they had two coaches in place that were going to take over too. And both of those coaches took jobs at other places. One Jack Burns' daughter, Alex, actually is over in, I believe, Spain. So they kind of scrambled and not sure what to do. And it, we saw them early in the year, and they were a little disorganized. They did not have a lot of kids, but they have a husband and wife duo, and they're coaching, and they beat the hallways a little bit. They got some kids out who had been out in the past. They built their numbers up very quickly, and they looked very good. I was very impressed, especially with their sprint crew. They've got a couple of young distance runners. They've done a very good job of. Coach Garrison has stepped in and helped out with them. Carlinville is an old nemesis of ours that we've butted heads against each other in a very friendly way for literally decades. A lot of that through the friendship that I've had with Coach Garrison and Coach Jokic, and it's a rivalry that is still in place. And they had 122 points to our 108 last night, and just they did a great job with their early in the year. They had trouble with depth, and through some recruiting and getting some kids out, and it was in fact their depth that won the meet for them last night. So I was disappointed for our kids, but pleased for the Carlinville kids that they really had a good night.
And then you mentioned Dave Jokic, and of course he's probably like the godfather of track and field, certainly in Macoupin County, maybe even in a wider area than that. But that was always one of the beautiful things that Dave did. He wasn't trying to keep like all the secrets to himself. He was more than willing to spread that knowledge across the area because he just wanted to see the kids compete to their max ability in track and field.
Yeah, really. He and Jerry Grandoni, both from Gillespie High School, were two the coaches that I really looked up to. We were at Gillespie. It was my first year, maybe second year coaching, and things were the Litchfield track program had kind of struggled for a few years through a couple of different coaches, and so I was trying to get it, you know, off the ground and trying to give it some momentum, and it was a struggle. We'd had a scratch meeting, and I was sitting kind of, I think with my head kind of my hand a little bit, trying to figure out how I could pull as many points out with the few kids that I had. And Coach Jokic sat down next to me and just gave me a few kind words of encouragement and that he was noticing what we were doing in Litchfield and it was improving and just be patient, that success was coming. And that really meant a lot to me. And I've looked up to both he and Coach Grandoni for years, and when they both retired, and they retired in a very similar time, that was really a loss to the South Central Conference, period, not to mention the sport of track and field.
Talking with Dan Newkirk here, the South Central Conference meet was held earlier this week, and Litchfield had a very strong showing, finishing second to both the boys and the girls meet. And Dan, as far as your girls competition went, Carson Lemon wins the 100, Kendall Stewart wins the 400, and then you did very well in the relays, not to mention Sarah Yakana in the long jump.
We have a very, very good group of girls that really work hard. They get along great. They're very close, very good friends. And which, when you look at relays, that's such a big part of it, having that chemistry and having that cohesiveness to trust one another and pass the baton well. Coach Kress does a really great job of coaching the girls' relays, and they've had a lot of success over the last 5 years. And we really were not sure where some of these what the relays were going to be. We were afraid we were going to be one girl short in this relay, one girl short in that relay. We had a young girl, Lily Brosh, come out who's a basketball player. We had run middle school track to really solidify some of those relays. Kate Comer, a senior this year, who really improved and was a strong leg to go along with Carlin Gwynn, Sarah Yakana, Carson Lemon, who have been three of our very strong girls relay individuals over the last couple of years. So they were able to put together very strong sprint relays. When we weren't sure we were going to be able to run them at all, we wound up quite the opposite, having very competitive, very strong relay teams, and they looked good last night.
Dan, what's the status of the postseason? Because I know the IESA decided a while ago they weren't going to have their track and field meet, and they just went through the sectionals. But is the state tournament a go?
We are a go. We are going to have, all of spring is a go. Baseball, girls soccer, softball, and track and field are all a go. And without, you know, saying for sure or having any kind of confirmation for that, I think that was just kind of an IHSA, hey, we're sorry that you lost all of last season.
Yeah.
So they were, I think, determined to put on a spring state series for all of us that didn't get to compete at all. A bonus of that is they're all outdoor activities, which makes social distancing easier, and just makes it much less complicated from a COVID standpoint. But track is going to have a little bit of a change. We will have a sectional. Our girls are competing this coming Wednesday at North Mac for their sectional. And then a week from then, on Friday, the 11th of June, our area is going to be competing in Gillespie on for the boys' sectional. Now, the state series, normally, there is a qualifying day and then a finals day, and it's a fun weekend. The kids get to stay over in Charleston, and we really have a good time. It's kind of a bonus and a reward for a season well done. Well, they're going to change that this year. Instead of having normally Thursday, the Class A qualifies, and then Friday, the 2A and 3A qualifies, then all the finals are on Saturday. They're going to do everything just as a one-day meet. So Class A will have their state meet on Thursday, and everything will be included. At the end of that day, they will crown the state champions. 2A will go on Friday, and 3A will go on Saturday. So they're really trying to discourage overnight stays, putting kids in motel rooms or dorm rooms together, and just trying to stay consistent with the social distancing that the school districts have been trying to do anyway. But we're getting the meet. We're getting the meet in, so everybody's very excited about that, and we're looking forward to it.
And, you know, it's going to be the first state series meet that we've had in a long time. You know, we haven't had football. We haven't had basketball. So we're going to get baseball and softball, as you said, girls soccer. But there's something about that track and field state meet. It just falls to me more in line with the football and the basketball in terms of really the special nature of it.
It really is. And nationwide, Illinois ranks very high as far as the results at the state meet. If you've never had an opportunity to go over to Charleston and take in the state track meet, there are some just absolutely phenomenal athletes on display in that meet, not only in the Class A, but the 2 and 3A events just are some, a lot of Division I athletes. When you look at state or track nationwide, Texas, Florida, the states where they're year-round outside, competing year-round, they definitely have an advantage, California. But when you get into the Midwest, Illinois really holds its own, and our state champions hold up very well. For example, Illinois has the top thrower in the country right now, overall thrower, a young lady down at East Altwood River.
Oh, yes.
Just an outstanding athlete. She's thrown over 50 feet in the shot put. She's at 52 feet something in the shot put. She's over 165 feet in the discus. We've really been keeping up with her. And Russ Colonna, their coach, is a good friend of our staff here in Litchfield. We think she is overall the farthest thrower in Illinois history when you combine the two. Farther than our good friend Kelsey Carr from Carlinville, who has outstanding success in high school, has carried that over all the way to the Olympic level. This young lady from East Altwood River just has a Urich is her last name. Jaden Urich is her name. Just an outstanding career ahead of her. She's heading to the University of Indiana after graduation and has a lot of growing. She's not a big, stocky thrower like you would imagine her to be. She's very athletic, very quick. And I'm sure the University of Indiana is going to put her on a great strength program, and her numbers are going to go nothing but up, and I think they're going to go up significantly. So, Illinois track and field is just outstanding.
Dan, you mentioned Kelsey Carr, and I was going to ask you in relation, how does Jaden stack up with Kelsey Carr, the high school version of Kelsey?
Well, very similar, very similar. Kelsey was not just a one-trick pony.
Right.
She was as we know, a very good track athlete, but she really made her bones athletically early as a volleyball player and as a spiker, got off the ground and would just pound the ball in volleyball. She was a very good basketball player as well, got up and down the floor very athletically. So very, very similar. Kelsey was incredibly quick in the ring. She was very nimble, very athletic, and Jaden Urich is the same way. Jaden runs a lot of sprints and sprint relays for Wood River High School, so she does not just throw the shot. So they are very similar athletes to one another.
Dan Newkirk, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time this morning, sir. Always great to catch up with you, and we look forward to hearing you on the call of some baseball postseason coming up next week.
Thanks, Tim. We appreciate everything. I just want to thank you guys and everybody at WSMI for bringing so much spotlight to the kids here in Montgomery and Macoupin County.
That is Dan Newkirk joining us here on Sports Saturday. Thanks to Dan. Thanks to Lincolnwood softball coach Greg Neisler and to Staunton baseball coach Zach Ferguson. And best of luck to Zach as he moves on to Pittsfield to take over the football program. You can find our regional broadcast schedule for next week online at WSMIRadio.com. Remember, Cardinal baseball for you tonight from Arizona, the third game of a four-game weekend set, 8:15 pregame coverage tonight, FM 106.9 and 92.9. Next week, Sports Saturday will be out at the Montgomery County Fairgrounds in Butler. Of course, the Hillsborough Tractor Show there, celebration of the County Bicentennial. So Sports Saturday live on the fairgrounds in Butler next week here on FM 106. The following week, the 12th of June, we make our glorious return to the Chili Dome for Irish Days in Farmersville coming up on June the 12th. Have a great sporting weekend, everybody. For David Jenkins, I am Tim Mize. Sports Saturday is done here on WQSMI, FM, Litchfield, Hillsborough, Carlinville, and Greenville, the station you can count on.